as you can see with Daniel chapter 11, if your thing is notated the same way mine is, do you notice how the 11 is kind of mashed in with the rest of the stuff that's right before it? That's kind of a clue and a hint to us that really 11 really shouldn't have been there in the first place. They just kind of threw it in there. Remember that when this stuff was originally written, it was written without any chapter or verse divisions. It was just straight on through. So some monks later on decided to, you know, throw in some things. So if you don't like where chapter 11 landed, you can go complain to them, I guess. But 11, this kind of gives us the hint that, again, Daniel is on the Tigris River, and he's talking with this angel, and then there's other angels there, and he's been given some more explanations on stuff. And 11 is really just a continuation of that story of what's taking place. Now, with chapter 11, I'm really not going to go through chapter 11 very in specific detail, because a lot of this stuff is stuff that Daniel has already seen. I'll tell you what all of 11 really entails is, you know, the previous visions he's been given? He was given the vision that Nebuchadnezzar was given in chapter 2, and then 7 and 8, he was given all those other things, all those other visions, and it was all the explanation of the next, like, 550 years. The next 600 years were kind of laid out for Daniel to see in very symbolic type imagery. And yet it wasn't symbolic that it wasn't going to happen. It was very sure and certain. But they used stuff like rams and goats and bears and lions and tigers and stuff like that. Oh, my. And, yeah, you knew it was going to come. You start naming off animals, and next thing you know, you're back in the Wizard of Oz. And what happens here is Daniel, again, had been praying and praying and praying, wanting more and more information. He'd already received this information three times. And now the angel's going to come, and he's going to kind of spell it out almost for him, almost event for event. Look at how it's even said, just the first couple of verses, starting verse 2. It says, "Now then I tell you the truth. Three more kings will appear in Persia, and then a fourth who will be far richer than all the others. When he has gained power by his wealth, he will stir up everyone against the kingdom of Greece. Then a mighty king will appear who will rule with great power and do as he pleases. After he has appeared, his empire will be broken and parceled out toward the four winds of heaven." This is stuff that he's already received before. He's talking about Alexander the Great, who's going to rise to power, and then he's going to die, and his land and his inventory is going to be parceled out to four different kingdoms. But yet you can see how it's even a little bit more detailed. There's almost no symbolism in this stuff. It just says stuff like, the king of the south will come and fight against the king of the north, and then the daughter of the king of the south will make a treaty with the son of the king of the north, and instead of rams and goats and stuff like that, he's just talking in personal type language. And again, this outlines what's going to happen within the next 500, 600 years. Now, it's great because I was talking with Seth here last week, and it was great because he was teaching some history stuff in his classroom, and he said, "Oh my goodness, we were just studying this stuff." And he says, "I can't believe that it's all laid out right here in the book of Daniel." Daniel is almost like a history textbook as that it lays out those future events. Now, I do want to say one thing. A lot of people will attack the book of Daniel and say something like, it wasn't really a prophecy. It was really written by some guy who lived maybe around the time of Jesus, and he knew all these past events, and so he wrote down a book like it was prophecy and signed his name as Daniel, and it was really just a fake book. How can someone 600 years prior get things so right? How could that be possible? So they say it was written more closer to the time of Christ. Now, unfortunately, they don't have any basis for that. They just don't like the fact that there was specific prophecy and that it came true. And we have some arguments against that. The Old Testament was written in the language of the Hebrews, Hebrew language. And around the second century, the second and third century, along came a translation of the Hebrew Bible into the Greek. And that was called the Septuagint. If you ever hear someone talking about the Septuagint, Septuagint is just the Old Testament written in Greek. Well, that was finished well before they say that this guy, this fake Daniel, showed up on the scene. And guess what book of the Bible shows up in the Septuagint? The book of Daniel. So they have absolutely no basis that it was written at such a later date. It was written when it says it was written. It talks about all the kings there. It was right around 539 BC was when all this stuff is taking place. So we have some very good certainty. And the reason why I like to talk about stuff like this is because God indeed knows the future. He's designed it. He's planned it. He knows how it's all going to kind of shape out. And we have a book, a Bible, that is so accurate and so trustworthy that it was able to predict these future events with such detail. So when you read the Bible, you're not just reading any old book. You're reading something that was inspired by God to give us instruction and aid and is 100% accurate. And it does so with Daniel chapter 11. So that's what I really wanted to point out with 11. Again, if you ever read through it, it talks in specific details. That whole thing with the daughter, that's in verse 6. After some years, they'll become allies. The daughter of the king of the south will go to the king of the north to make an alliance, but she will not retain her power. If you have a study Bible, you'll even see that's talking about Berenice, daughter of Ptolemy II Philadelphius of Egypt, who went and married Antiochus. And then Antiochus's former wife, Laodice, conspired to have Berenice and Antiochus put to death. So as you can see, it all came out just as it said in historical context right there, and it's in very specific detail. Daniel chapter 11. So that's Daniel 11. So let's go to Daniel 12. Take some time to read it. If you have a study Bible, read through it. It's fascinating stuff. I don't know if I should really go through it because you can just read it. It's just historical. It just didn't happen. And it happened before those events took place. And that's what's so neat about Daniel 11. So if you ever want any proof about how powerful and how all-knowing God is, you just say Daniel chapter 11. It's right there. Okay, Daniel 12. The heading there is the end times. Again, it's a continuation again of chapter 11. The angel that is still there is still talking. He just calls him the angel dressed in linen. So the angel dressed in linen is still talking to Daniel, and this is what he says. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. You remember Michael? He's the big bad angel. He's one of the warrior angels. There's fighting angels, messenger angels, ministering angels, and Michael is one of the fighters. And he gets the distinct pleasure of, at the end times, destroying Satan once and for all by throwing him into the abyss. Kind of a cool job, I think. And so Michael's that dude. So Michael's pretty high up there. I mean, I don't think they'd give it to any old angel to take Satan down. But Michael's the one that gets the opportunity to do that. Okay, so Michael will arise and protect the people. There will be a time of distress, such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine. Oh, wait, you know, let me stop there. Right there you have, it's really a double prophecy is taking place because it's talking the end times, the fulfillment of God's purpose and plan of salvation. We know that that happened at the time of Christ when he died and came back to life. And sure enough, those events did take place at the time of Christ. When Christ gave up his spirit and he died, all of a sudden a big, huge earthquake happened. The ground shook and all these tombs opened up. And Uncle Harry, who was dead, is now walking around knocking on your door and saying, hey, can I have a bagel or something like that? So he's back alive. And so that thing happened. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. And they walked around. And then finally they were delivered up into heaven. Now that's also Christ time, and then that's also end times. We also say when Christ comes again, if we're dead and we're lying in the graves, that means that we will awaken and come back to life and be brought. And where are we going to go? Everlasting life. Some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt. That's a euphemism for hell. If you ever think that hell is not described in the Old Testament, well, there's an example of a place that it shows up. Everlasting contempt. Okay, verse 3. I love verse 3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So we know that because we have Christ and we have that knowledge of salvation, we will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And yet, check out what also, there's kind of like a double bonus. We're in the bonus round here. Those who lead many to righteousness. If you've ever thought, is it worth it to evangelize and talk to people about my faith and talk to people about church, here's an example. It's a distinction is made not only of those who are saved, but those who end up leading a lot of people to salvation, to God, giving them that life, that everlasting life through Jesus Christ. They will also shine like stars forever and ever. So that's kind of a neat thing. Underline that. There's an evangelistic passage right there. And then the angel finally is going to kind of wrap things up in conclusion. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. So Daniel is instructed, you know, kind of keep this under wraps for a while until the end. Which end? Well, it was revealed at the time of Christ, but also in the end times, we're going to understand a lot more about that. The visions of Daniel will be revealed. So they're kind of closed up. And so he wrote them down, and eventually they finally made their way out into the public knowledge. But he was told to close them and seal them up. And then he goes back into first-person narrative. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. Well, where's the third angel? Well, one of them said to the man clothed in linen, that's the angel, clothed in linen, who is above the water of the river. So I just like that. I'm a very pictorial kind of person. You kind of get the image. He's standing at the river. On one end, on the other bank is an angel. On this side of the bank is the angel. And the guy that's been talking to me has kind of been just kind of hovering over the water, floating. It's kind of cool. So that's the image. Most people believe that those two others showed up because that angel in linen is going to give an oath. And you have to have two witnesses for the oath to be valid. And so there's two other angels that show up. Okay, so one of them, we don't know which one, said to the angel clothed in the linen, who is above the waters, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? Now, why an angel is asking this? Well, you got one of two choices. Either the angel is asking because he doesn't know, or the angel is asking it for the benefit of the people that are there, for Daniel, and then also for us as we read the words later on. I'm probably going to guess it's the latter. The angel probably knew, but he wanted it to be revealed and exposed so that Daniel could write it down. So the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, he's kind of the big guy that's been talking all along, he lifted his right hand and his left hand toward the heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and half a time. Pretty clear, huh? Yeah, that's what I said when I read this. I'm like, what? So, and sure enough, you probably have a footnote that says, for a year, years, and half a year. Well, you know, what in the world does that mean? Well, I think I'll give you my interpretation of my idea of what that is. Is he's trying to talk about it's going to be done, and it's a complete and full time. It's kind of like for a time, for multiple times, and for half a time. So however you think about it, it's going to be done and it's going to be fulfilled. There's no prophecy of exactly when. He just says it's going to happen in the fullness of time would be maybe a way to translate that. And if you don't like that, then think up your own. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so, and then he goes on, when the power of the holy people has finally been broken, all these things will be completed. So all these things are going to be completed. Now, verse 8, here's the linchpin, the clincher of all of chapter 12. Because you and Daniel have something in common. Di and Daniel have something in common. I heard, but I didn't understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? That's a big question. Again, why? What was Daniel known for? Daniel was known for his ability to understand and interpret dreams and visions. He was a smart guy. He was in tight with God. And yet, God revealed this stuff not once, not twice, three times, and Daniel is still going, I don't quite get it all, God, you know. So he does what a lot of us like to do. He says, can you boil it down for me? Can you, you know, give me a bottom line? Take it to its root, its core. And tell me what that is. You know, we do that all the time. We do that with teachers, don't we? You ever go to class? Teacher's lecturing for an hour. Can you just boil it down? I've been to sermons like that, too. The guy's talking. Can you just boil it down into something basic for me to understand? And that's what he asked. And I'm going to try and do that a little bit later on. So he asked the question, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? How is it finally going to end? And he replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. Now, there's a lot of talk about what does it mean, 1,290 days. For some reason, the numbers don't crunch very well with the 1,290. Now, I've got a hot lead on some stuff that I'm hoping to listen to and maybe understand that a little bit fuller. But I did a lot of searches, tried to understand what 1,290 days was, and I couldn't quite get it. There is maybe some connection with the Ark of with Noah's Ark. And I'm going to have to do some more research with the numbers that were given on Noah's Ark. Go figure. But really, if you want to boil it down, if you want to make a big, what is the outcome? Well, it'll be 1,290 days. Best if you can wait out those days and even make it to 1,335 days. So if you can make it through the time of distress, through the difficult times, you're going to come to the end. And then verse 13, very important verse, the last verse of the book of Daniel. As for you, go your way until the end. You will rest, and then at the end of days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. At the end, you're finally going to get your just and due reward. Well, there's the book of Daniel. What does all this mean, this end stuff? Well, I think it really, if we were going to boil it down, it really comes to the idea that we often like to know the details of future events. I mean, do you ever sometimes think that? Do you ever sometimes want to know that stuff? Do you ever say to yourself, you know, what's going to happen within the next week, the next month, the next year? Now, I know I do. You know, I sit around and ponder quite often as I'm praying or worshiping, and I say to myself, you know, where in the world are we going as a church? Where is Searchlight actually headed? Where am I headed as a pastor with this congregation? How is it all going to finally end up? You know, I have a general idea of where we're trying to head, but kind of the details, they're all kind of fuzzy, and they just don't make a whole lot of sense to me. Now, I know that I've talked with a number of you on separate occasions, and you know, a lot of people turn to God and turn to church and turn to pastors in times of difficulty because they are asking the same question Daniel is asking, and that is, what's the final thing? Am I going to make it through these hard times? And as pastors, we really just don't have all the details. We're not going to be able to say, well, this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, and then you're going to be okay. All we can do is really bottom line it. Now, I'm not denying the fact that God does and can and still does reveal specific future events. It happened to Mary, right? Mary, an angel came to her and said, guess what? You're pregnant. Now, that's some pretty specific details about what's going to happen in the next 9 months. She's going to pretty much know what's going to happen. I mean, she wasn't given daily stuff, but she was given a very specific thing about a very specific future event. Same thing happened to Paul on his travels. He was blinded, and he was told to go to this man's house, and he would be the one that would be able to restore his sight. And that person was named Cornelius. And so he did just as he was told. He'd given a very specific future event to help them out. But for us, it just doesn't happen all too often. Now, we're so curious that we want to turn to different things. We want to get those answers. So, yeah, we pick up the tarot cards or the horoscopes or call the psychic hotline, stuff like that. And I just love that new. Do you like that new tarot card reader that's out there? Miss Chloe? Have you seen her? What? Yaman. She's a Jamaican. And, oh, she cracks me up. Oh, the tarot cards never lie. And she's going off on all these very specific details about future events. We like to know that. In fact, there was a show that was created. It was called The Edition. And that was, I didn't even ask the last group. Was it called The Edition or Special Edition? Early Edition. See, it was something like, you watch that show, right? And that was where a guy receives a newspaper and delivered to his doorstep about the events that were going to happen that day. Now, that was pretty safe for him because it usually entailed events that weren't related to him. He just went out and saw them take place. He often tried to change the outcome of that. And I'm sure they also played a I'm guessing a couple of times they played with stuff that actually would happen to him, shown up in the newspaper. We're really fascinated with that. We turn to a lot of places, and really the place that we should be going to is God. We should be asking him what those things are going to be. But oftentimes, the response that we're going to get is something that we're not even going to understand. I mean, do you really want to know the very specific details of what's going to happen in the next week, month, couple years? Do you really want to know if you're going to be in that car accident? Do you really want to know if you're going to be the one that's diagnosed with cancer in a year? Are you going to be the one that wants to know that your child is going to die? I just ran into a lady at the bookstore, Lighthouse Christian Bookstore, and she found out just that day that her godson was killed in a tragic car accident. And I thought, wow, that was pretty shocking and unsuspecting. I think sometimes God gives us maybe directions, and God gives us places we should be going to, but those little tiny details are just not filled out for us. And I think that maybe sometimes it's good. And even we could be as wise as Daniel and receive all this stuff and still come to the conclusion that we just don't understand. It's, you know, if I was going to liken it to anything, I'd liken it. Do you know those posters that were out a while ago? I looked for them. I found out I should have asked Megan Kessler because she had a bunch of them. Those posters that had the digital images where they're really kind of funky looking stuff, just patterns. And then if you could look at it just right and uncross your eyes and look past it and stuff like that, that an image came forth. You guys remember those? I looked for them. They don't. I mean, those were popular, what, 10 years ago? Now they're not popular anymore. I can't find any. I thought I had a lead on a book, but it didn't pan out. But I think all too often that's kind of what our life is kind of like. I remember the first time I saw those, I thought everyone was playing a practical joke on me. I really did. Yeah, they're like, what, can't you see it? There's a spaceship and the moon and there's the planet over there. And I'm looking at it. What am I supposed to do? Yeah, kind of look past it. You know, I'm trying, but I cannot figure out how to work this thing. And there's finally that one time when I kind of see it, and it comes out, and then it disappears. Because you try and look at it, and then you're like, what happened to it? And finally you figure out exactly what to do with your eyes, and it often works. Sometimes I think that's how our life really, truly ends up. I know that a lot of you are struggling with major stuff in your life. And you've come and talked to me, and you say, where is it all going to go? It's almost as if there's this huge kind of fuzziness or fog. And you're looking at this image, you're like, I cannot figure this thing out. I don't know where this is headed. Why in the world was I transferred from my job? Why in the world was I given this bad grade? Why in the world are these things happening to my family? Why in the world am I going through some of this stuff? And you kind of want to know, is everything going to finally work out? Am I going to be okay? Can I make it through these 1,290 days? Is that possible? And really, I can't tell you the details. I don't know them. God does. God knows the specific details about every single one of us. And sometimes we just need to boil down to what is going to be the final outcome of all of this. My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? And the outcome that was given to Daniel was, go your way until the end. You will rest, and then at the end of your days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. As Christians, we can have a sure and certain hope of something that is a guarantee in life. You've heard that phrase, right? Nothing in life is for certain except for what? Death and taxes, right? Yeah, we know it, especially around April 15th. But I think there's always something that we forget in that. And that is that we have a sure and certain hope in Jesus Christ. Right in your margins, right at verse 13, I was doing some stuff, and I want you to write the 2 Corinthians 5:5-8. Write that in your Bible right there so that if you ever read this again, you'll get pointed to this verse. And then once you write it there, let's turn to it. 2 Corinthians 5:5-8. And then turn to that right now in your Bibles. 2 Corinthians is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, 5 through 8. Now, it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. We've all been given the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's a guarantee. That's a certainty of what's to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Paul, when he's writing this stuff, he writes words that I think help us out with these phrases like, you know, confident. And he says it again in verse 8, we are confident. There is a guarantee, a certainty. You buy a lottery ticket, you 1 in 100,000 that you're going to have a winner. You have the Holy Spirit and you have Christ in your life. That's a guarantee. A guarantee, a confidence that we have that we will one day spend eternity. We will shine like stars with God forever. And that's the bottom line. When you boil down the book of Daniel and all the crazy things that happened to him, he was given the assurance of salvation. And that's what I offer to you today. Is that whatever you're going through, the struggles, the painful trials, some of the things I hear as a pastor amaze me on some of the painful things that people go through. And they're sitting here right now in this church. And there's things that I know that you haven't even told me. Painful experiences and things that you're going through. And I don't know the details. You can stare at it all day long and it still might be as fuzzy as can be. But all I can say is that we can be confident. There can be a hope, an assurance that because of Christ, we indeed have salvation. I invite you at this moment to just close your eyes for a moment. There's major pain that's right now here. There's painful experiences. And I know through those painful experiences we end up doing crazy things sometimes. And we'll turn to anything that'll give us answers. And I invite us now to turn to the Lord.